Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Many visually impaired and blind students and professionals rely on textbooks and other materials that are available from Learning Ally, formerly Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, or RFBD. And this week we'll learn more about that.
We'll be speaking with Kristen Witucki, Community Coordinator for Students Who Are Visually Impaired, about Learning Ally, what services and resources they offer, and whom they serve. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Kristen Witucki.
One tip that I found myself constantly emphasizing as I was drafting resources across the curriculum is to start early and give yourself a lot of time. And that applied to learning technology, it applied to talking to professors or DSOs, and it also applied to learning effectively.
Being prepared is always important, and starting at enough time. Some of these things take more time than one thinks to get your resources and all your ducks lined up in order.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and especially if you need something special that the professor isn't planning to hand to you in a format you can use on the first day of class. You need to approach the professor or whoever it is ahead of time and make sure it's available for you when it's available for everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Let's start by meeting Kristen Witucki.
I'm Kristen Witucki, and I am the community coordinator for students who are blind or visually impaired at Learning Ally. I've been blind since birth and a Learning Ally member since I was 12. I have a bachelor's degree in English and master's in education of gifted students, education of students who are visually impaired, and in creative writing. And before, you know, while I was going through school, I worked in several other positions at Learning Ally. And then I took a 2-year break to teach English at the West Virginia School for the Blind. And now I'm back in my current position.
What was the cause of your blindness?
Well, I was born premature, and my eye condition is called microphthalmia, which means that my eyes aren't developed. And I also have hypoplasia of the optic nerve.
You have any interesting kind of hobbies you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I really love to write. I write fiction and nonfiction. And I also love to read a lot. I don't have a whole lot of time for hobbies right now because I have a 4-year-old son.
Well, that'll do it, won't it?
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is Learning Ally and the services it provides, books, and much, much more.
So I guess today we mostly wanted to talk about Learning Ally and some of the new programs and resources that you're offering. But maybe you can give some of our listeners who don't know what Learning Ally is an overview of what you do.
Okay. Well, Learning Ally was founded in 1948 as Recording for the Blind at the time, and it was founded in New York City by Anne McDonald, and she wanted to start an initiative to allow soldiers who had been blinded during World War II to take advantage of college under the GI Bill. So she actually, with a group of her friends, began a recording studio and started recording textbooks for these soldiers who had just come back and they were able to participate in college. And the network of recording grew across the entire country. And for many years, it was called Recording for the Blind and only served people who were blind or visually impaired, not just soldiers, but other people as well. But then in around the 1990s, it also expanded to include people with learning disabilities. And actually, at this point, people with learning disabilities are the majority of the members, and the members who are blind or visually impaired are a proud and small minority.
How many users do you currently have?
We have about 25,000 individual members. We also have about 20,000 schools or organizations, and of those, about 8,000 of them have active student learners registered with us. So in the schools who've registered student learners, there are about 135,000 student learners who are using the memberships through their schools.
How has the technology for books evolved over the years?
Basically, the books have evolved, and so they started out on records and then went to reel-to-reel recordings, then to cassettes, then DAISY CDs, and then finally downloadable books.
And how many books do you have altogether?
Learning Ally has over 82,000 books right now in the digital library, and those books are in both the traditional audio format that many of the long-term members are used to, which just has audio and page navigation, and the newer voice text format, which has both audio and text and is compatible with a wide variety of computers, the Learning Ally app, and even devices with Braille displays.
So we actually have several personal connections to what started out as recordings for the blind. In the 1950s, my mother worked in the studio as a volunteer, and she would work the equipment while somebody with a really nice voice did the reading. And then in the 70s, Pete, you were a big-time client.
Well, I was visually impaired when I was born, although I could read print books if I held my nose right up to the paper. But just before I went to graduate school in physics, I had some surgery that left my eyes totally blind. And so there I was starting graduate school, and I needed my textbooks. And Recording for the Blind at the time used to be a service where you could give them a copy of a print textbook, and they would have someone record it for you. So they did that for me as I started graduate school, and that was quite a service.
Yeah, I think that service has evolved a little bit, being that the positive side of it might be that we basically are trying to keep in mind the books that people would be most likely to read. And so you no longer really need to send a copy of the book. Usually we could just get it from the publishers or record it. The disadvantage or the drawback might be if someone was in a discipline that wasn't widely used, or, you know, I would say maybe higher level graduate studies, you know, you may or may not be able to get the book from Learning Ally. But it does have quite a large book catalog, which spans from, I'd say, kindergarten through graduate level books.
So do they not find custom readers to read advanced books anymore? Because, for instance, when I started graduate school, I had my books recorded of quantum mechanics books. And they were quite sophisticated.
Yeah, no, we definitely still find volunteers in the subject matter. So if you wanted a quantum mechanics book, we'd have someone who actually knows how to read those formulas and the charts. And one thing that hasn't changed about the books is that every chart or map or diagram is described.
Those readers did an excellent job back then, as I recall.
Yeah, I remember I felt like some of the hardest reading must have been, and I didn't take anything close to physics or what you took, but in my advanced placement biology, when I took that, I just remember how carefully and thoroughly the people described those graphics.
So I guess, as you say, things have changed quite a bit over the years, from having books on disc to cassettes to CDs, and now you can download these digital audio DAISY formatted books. But also there's a lot more reading material available from other sources. So, for instance, Bookshare wasn't around back then for all these electronic books, and often people get textbooks that way. Or the NLS is buying books commercially and putting them into audio that people can borrow from their National Library Service. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how that's impacted what your work is these days.
I think that all of those resources really complement each other. I mean, as a member myself, I use all three of them. And we definitely encourage people to get the book where they can get the book if we don't have it. I think the things that might make these books somewhat unique compared to the other two right now would be the human narration, which distinguishes us from most of the Bookshare files, though not from NLS. NLS has human narration also.
But NLS, on the other hand, won't do textbooks.
Yeah, they won't do textbooks. So yeah, that's the flip side. We do textbooks and we have described every graphic in those books and also put in the page numbers for those frantic people writing papers and needing to cite their sources.
Yeah, as good as the speech synthesizers have gotten these days, if I find a book in electronic format from Bookshare and I find the same book in audio from the National Library Service, I'll always read it in audio. It's nice to hear a human voice.
Yeah, I agree. If I want to read it in Braille, then I can get it from Bookshare. But as far as Learning Ally is concerned, I definitely would prefer the audio over the synthetic audio.
You talked about having books available at every level from kindergarten through advanced graduate programs. What are the major categories of books and types of people that you're trying to provide services for? And then along with that, what services do you provide perhaps in addition to providing books?
Well, so first of all, to answer the book question, we have agreements and discussions with the K-12 publishers, and so we get a large number of books through them. We are also trying to get state-adopted textbooks as well, so we basically try to find out what's being used before the semester or the year starts for those younger kids and get those books recorded as quickly as possible. And then we also do still serve students who are in college or graduate school. I think the difference in serving those students and the challenge is that in K-12, there are basically a few major publishers and then there's also a lot of popular fiction that would complement all of the resources that people use at those levels. But in college, there are so many disciplines and fields of study that, and within those many different publishers, that I think when you get to college, you can find several of your books, but you may not find all of your books.
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, if you look at Bookshare and NLS, they have arrangements with publishers, but usually the major publishers. And some universities will publish their own set of books, or a professor might have their own special book that they want to teach from. So that's a little bit different once you get into college.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, and some professors want to use material that hasn't even been published.
Yeah, that's a whole new problem that I don't think we are equipped to handle yet. So.
And where do you get your volunteers?
Well, originally we had studios all over the country, and we still do have several of the major studios, and many of them were in university towns. So volunteers would come and record in those studios whenever they could. But now we've shifted. We still have some studio spaces, but we also have virtual volunteering. So people who can't get to a studio or, you know, would rather record at home can now record from their home after being trained and given the equipment that they need.
So what are the new programs this Learning Ally have that you'd like to highlight?
Well, Learning Ally, while it's still recording textbooks, is also trying and working on becoming a more community-based organization. And what that means is that we're trying to help communities connect together. So we have several initiatives already started on the learning disability side, and we are now working on one on the blindness and visual impairment side called the College Success Program. And that program, it was researched in the fall of 2013. We basically did some qualitative research. We followed 15 blind or visually impaired college students through their semester to try to learn from them what was working for them and what did not work. And then based on that research, we developed a curriculum, which I can talk about more if you like. And then we're also working on connecting these students to mentors who are college graduates and who are blind or visually impaired. So the curriculum is now live as of April, and it's up on our website. It's at learningally.org/college-success. And there, people who are in college can actually you know, check out various resources, and they can also sign up for consultation with a mentor over the fall semester of 2015.
And you talked about the curriculum you put in place. What is special about the curriculum?
Well, the curriculum came out of our research. We basically analyzed the data from the research and determined that student needs fell into five large areas of need. So the curriculum is based on this model. So the first area of need is students really needed help learning effectively. So they needed help not interrupting themselves, not limiting their use of devices just because they felt like they were distracting. And also they needed help with skills like study skills and time management. The second area of the curriculum is managing professors. And basically students needed help advocating to their professors assertively and confidently, without being either too passive or too aggressive. The third area of the curriculum is discovering technology. And in that area, we are helping students kind of learn what they already know and what they would need to know to succeed in college, and then connecting them with technology training. The fourth area is partnering with the DSO. And the DSO, there are many acronyms for a DSO, depending on what school you go to, but DSO is Disability Services Office. So we found that unlike when you work with a TVI, a teacher of the visually impaired in high school, when you arrive at college, the DSO is not going to come find you and is not going to just know what you need. You as the student really need to lead that interaction. And so we talked about how to help with that. And then the final area of the curriculum is making connections. And so the big barrier for many students was social isolation. Many of the students in our research lived off campus, or even if they lived on campus, they lived in single dorm rooms to kind of minimize interruptions to other people. But we found because of that, many students were not connecting to their campus communities or to the BVI community. So we really wanted to help students to make those connections. So in each of those areas, we have several resources which are online, so you can access them whenever you want. If you are up at 3 a.m. and you want to procrastinate on that paper that's due tomorrow, you could check out some resources.
And what kinds of resources do you offer through the College Success Program?
They're all accessible, and we have a multimedia approach as well. So we have some resources which are articles, some that are audio podcasts, some which are informal online quizzes or surveys, because we really want students to interact with the content in a bunch of different ways.
So this sounds like a great resource for prospective students.
Yeah, we're hoping that it will address students either who are entering college or who are already in college and might need help in one of those areas. And the other piece of it was when I was looking around to see what content existed, there was some existing content, and we were able to connect with content from AFB, from a book called College Bound by Ellen Treif, and then also from Do It, which was the Disability Center through the University of Washington. But a lot of resources were geared more toward TVIs or toward parents, and we really wanted to have resources which were in the student voice and were geared directly to the students.
Well, I think one of the major things that a young person learns in college is how to go out in the world and take care of their own situation. And if said student has a disability, for example, being blind, there are specific things that this person needs to learn how to handle on their own. Because like you said, all the way through high school, they've had a teacher of the visually impaired available to come in and help them navigate the interaction with the school district. But now they have to be the lead on it. And so it's really great that you provide this extra coaching and mentoring and guiding. And here's an easy way for you to find out what's available to you so that you can go and ask in a way that we're going to tell you which way might be more effective.
Yeah, and it varies for different students. And ideally, a student's TVI would kind of be phasing out over the last year or two, you know, and allowing the student to take on some of that responsibility. But we know that that doesn't always happen for every student.
And college is a big enough transition, even if you're fully sighted. It's a big change from high school. And with the additional issue of being visually impaired, you have those extra issues to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, anyone coming to college is going to be totally overwhelmed at first. But yeah, a visual impairment definitely adds a layer of challenge to it. The other piece of the program that we're really excited about is having mentors to actually work with the students. And this is because we really can't anticipate every single need that a student's going to have, and we realize that some of them are unique. So right now we have 4 mentors, and they completed a pilot semester with 14 students who are in college. And we are in the process now of gathering insights from exit interviews with the students and the mentors to find out what worked and what didn't work in the program so that we can deliver it to a larger audience in the fall.
And if one wanted to become part of this program, either as a student or as a mentor, what would one have to do?
You can actually sign up for the program right on our website, which is learningally.org/college success. Or you could email us at collegesuccess@learningally.org, and we'll be happy to help you sign up.
What kind of criteria would there be for somebody who wants to be a mentor?
It is really exciting because many people have seen ads for the program through an email blast that we just sent out. And so we've gotten so many people who have written to us and said, this program sounds wonderful. I wish I'd had it when I was in college. Right now, our basic criteria are that you would need to be successful in your field, whether you're working or you're in graduate school. You would have need to have graduated from college, and you'd need to be blind or visually impaired.
That's great. That sounds like a very nice program.
So if you are a current student, or you know a current or prospective student, check out their resources. Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about Learning Ally, including how to get access to their entire library of books.
Now, if people want to sign up to receive Learning Ally books in general and avail themselves of your other services, what would they do?
They could go to learningally.org and go to the join link and sign up right on the website.
And presumably you need a certified reading disability.
Yes. So you either need to be blind or visually impaired or have a learning disability such as dyslexia, but it could be any learning disability, or a physical disability which prevents you from holding the book or accessing the book in any other way.
And if people would like to contact you by phone, is there a phone number where people can reach you?
Sure. The member services phone number for any questions related to membership is 1-800-221-4792. And if you would like to contact me about the College Success Program, my phone number is 609-243-7054, or you can email me at thecollegesuccess@learningally.org.
Great. Are any of these services available outside of the U.S.?
No, they're not right now.
Now, as you mentioned, the formats in which you can get these books over the years have changed. I presume you still distribute CDs if people want them, and you have a way of downloading books directly from your site after you search on your site. And I understand there's also an iPhone app, which I've used, which works very nicely.
Yes. So right now we're actually in the process of phasing out the CDs because at this point, the vast, vast majority of people are downloading books. We only have less than 500 individuals who are still using the CD players, and we're helping them to transition to downloads in various ways. So Learning Ally has discontinued the CDs as of June 30th of this year. But as you said, we have an iPhone app, which is very popular. We have an app for the Android, and we also, our books are compatible with a lot of the devices that people who are blind use, like BrailleNote, the Stream, the PackMate, and many other devices as well. Also, you can download books onto a thumb drive and play them through your NLS player if that's the player you prefer to use.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I'm glad we got together and you guys helped me get through graduate school, which was a great thing. I've even used some of your books outside of graduate school and downloaded them on my iPhone. We were taking a course at a community center for retired folks generally, and it was on medical school in 2 hours a week. And they had a biology textbook along with that, and I couldn't find it anyplace else, but I did find it at Learning Ally and downloaded it. And that worked very well. So thanks again.
That's great. I'm really glad that we have books for people even when they're not in school anymore, just who want to keep learning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we have been big fans and demonstrating our fanness over the years of Learning Ally because, you know, Pete had a great career as a research physicist. And if he hadn't been able to get the content of those books as he went through graduate school, that just could not have happened. And so we are very grateful to Learning Ally for enabling Pete to do what he wanted to do.
I will never forget that lady that read my quantum mechanics book. I mean, reading those equations, she read it like it was prose. She was so smooth. I couldn't believe how well she read it.
That's wonderful.
The funny thing is you talk about starting early, and I didn't go blind until like June before I started graduate school. So I started collecting what textbooks I would need. And of course, Learning Ally, RFB at the time, couldn't record them quite in time, so they were a month or two behind. And my colleagues in graduate school said, oh, we'll read your books. And then they realized how hard it was. So it was great that RFB finally came through.
No, I know. It takes hours.
That's right. And it's tricky reading in complex equations.
Yeah. No, you can't just say you'll do it because you'll feel good doing it. It takes a lot of work.
That's right. And as usual, you can find contact information for the resources we talked about in our show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1531. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about opportunities for blind pharmacists. Arnold Tucker was a pharmacist in a retail pharmacy when his vision began to fade. Despite using various adaptive aids, it became progressively more difficult for him to perform his job. After obtaining some additional training, he found new doors open in his field. We'll speak with him about his journey and opportunities for blind pharmacists. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.